compassionate parenting. And I just wonder this morning, now this gets into the subject of raising some teenagers. Now I know some of you, you may still have children, smaller children at home, but I wonder how many of you have teens yet? Raise your hands. Well, quite a few. All right. If you don't have teens yet, they're coming. All right. Mine have already passed. All right. We had two teens in the home at the same time. Our two children, our son, Paul, our daughter, Amy, were 13 months apart. And so we, you know, we raised two teenagers at the same time. All right. And, you know, God got us through it, and God gave us great grace, and they were good kids, and they're still good kids today. And now they're raising five of their own between them, and they're all approaching the teen years. We have our oldest granddaughter that'll be 13 this October, so I'm sure I'll be spending a lot of time, Mom and I will, on the phone with our son and daughter-in-law, but no, they're good kids, so praise the Lord that we can raise godly kids for the Lord, amen? And honestly, I think the teen years were some of the best years of our lives as parents. Now, I don't know if our kids thought so, but we did. We had a great time with our teenage kids. We had a great time with our kids growing up, and still have a great time with our five grandkids when we can get around them. And take your Bible, although the verse is there in your bulletin, Proverbs 4 and verse 23, where it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Now, we're talking about the guiding parent, the guiding parent. And you can't help but notice when you look around our world, we have some challenges ahead of us as parents, and our culture is trying to awaken and enlarge the desires of our young people, our children, our teenagers, at younger and younger ages. If you've not noticed that, you may have your heads in the sand, okay? But today's parents often find themselves caught between the better judgment of their conscience and the pressure of a corrupt nature. And oh, how corrupt our society is today, amen? And we wonder how to handle the fact that our son or our daughter is experiencing an attraction to the opposite sex, the opposite gender. Today we will explore a balanced and principled approach to nurturing and guiding your teenager's heart through these powerful new emotions and into eventually a happy married life like I know all of you are experiencing. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I hope so. Now, Proverbs 4, verse 23, boy, does that really dovetail in with Pastor's message that my wife and I heard earlier. And what a message. If you've not heard Pastor preach, it's going to be good, all right? I can attest to that. But I share this verse, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And as Pastor said this morning, everything in the Christian life is a matter of the heart. Amen? And it begins at a very young age. And we as God's parents, as our children's parents, we need to direct our children into putting most of the emphasis on their hearts. Amen? I share this verse because it is your child's heart that is at stake in this battle. And by the way, we are in a spiritual battle for the hearts of our children. Amen? No matter what age they are, Satan would like to turn their heart the wrong direction, enlarge and pervert their desires, and ultimately rob them of their purity. But a wise parent will determine to set up a watch guard over his or her child's heart regarding these new attractions. And by the way, there are many. We must learn to strike a careful biblical balance. My friends, this is our guidebook.
Amen.
Amen. If we don't operate by this book for our own daily lives, I doubt if it will be passed down to our children's lives. But we must maintain a very careful biblical balance, teaching and nurturing our kids in how to manage emotions and how to keep their friendships, their fellowship, healthy and Christ-centered until the Lord intersects their paths with the right person at the right time to eventually marry. Now, for sake of time, because we don't have much time in the class, and there are 14 points in this lesson, all right? So what I want to do is I want to jump ahead. I want to give you the points for the lesson so you can write them down. And then we're going to go back and we're going to take one point at a time. We may not even have time to get all the way through the points, but we'll try to highlight as much as we can. So let's consider some guiding principles that will help us navigate these unfamiliar waters of especially teenage attractions. Number one, as the parent, be the authority. Be the authority in your home, fathers and mothers, for your children. Amen?
Amen.
Number two, be an understanding friend. Be an understanding friend. Let me tell you, if you're not your children's friend, first of all, they're going to find friends. And later on, you might not approve of those friends, right? So number one, be their friend. Thirdly, communicate clearly and openly. Communicate clearly and openly. Fourthly, expect things to start changing in junior high. We used to have a Christian school in our church that I pastored, and I really hated to see kids go into junior high. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Their emotions are like this, all right? And sometimes our daughter's emotions were like that, okay? But expect things to start changing in junior high. You might even want to build a cage maybe in your child's room, lock them in there, throw away the key when they turn 13, let them out after they turn 20. I don't know. But anyway, that's up to you, all right? Number five, maintain a group spirit. Maintain a group spirit in all teen relationships. Number five, that's number five. Number six, help them build strong friendships of the same gender. Help them to build strong friendships of the same gender. Number seven, help maintain the right pace in a friendship. Now we're talking about a friendship of the opposite sex. So make sure you're the one that maintains the pace. Number eight, see the teen years as the lab or the laboratory and yourself as the instructor. You're the instructor, the kids are the lab rat. I mean, no. Just teasing, of course. They're the lab, okay? Number nine, encourage a just friends, quote unquote, encourage a just friends relationship philosophy until graduation from high school. And I think sometimes that can go even later, even into college. Number 10, watch for three danger signs in your teenagers. And I'll list those. A, isolation. We'll talk about that if we, hopefully we'll have time. Isolation. B, extended time. We'll talk about that. And C, physical contact. So watch for those three danger signs. Number 11, be approachable. Be approachable and preemptive with instruction for your teens. And I think that should go, you know, if we're forming being approachable with our young children when they're really young, it's going to be a lot easier when they get to be teenagers. If you wait till they're teenagers, maybe too late, right? Then, number 12, be involved as a parent. I mean, you got to be hands-on. Be involved as a parent. Number 13, don't push your teen to date. Don't push your teen to date. And number 14, don't take a breakup lightly. In other words, if they do date and there's a breakup, they're going to think their world is falling apart. You may not, but they will, okay? And teen emotions run pretty high sometimes, okay? They're emotional creatures, all right? Just like we are. Let's go back. So let's consider these guiding principles that will help us navigate these unfamiliar waters of teen attractions. Number one, be the authority. As the parent, you must set the ground rules for how relationships will be handled in your family. You must lay the boundaries and the consequences of both keeping and breaking the guidelines. In other words, Lord willing, hopefully you're going to guide your home, as I said earlier, by the Word of God. And you're going to set the boundaries. Don't wait to suddenly discover, what are my kids' boundaries, when they've already set them for you, right? That's a little late. Set them early in their lives. Often we think of punishment when it comes to disobedience, but what about the reward for obedience? Do we praise our children for obeying us? You know, I'm not saying we got to go out and buy them a new car if they've obeyed, all right? Because I heard this from a 17-year-old teenager where my wife and I were ministering as missionaries over in the country of Albania. And this young man named Arion helped us with our first VBS one summer. And my wife and I were excited about maybe having some prizes for the kids learning Bible memory. There's nothing wrong with that. We were going to give prizes away for perfect attendance. There's nothing wrong with that. But Arion, he said, Pastor Michael, I have a question. Now, this is coming out of a 17-year-old young man, Christian young man. He said, Pastor, what you win them with is what you win them to. So be careful in your rewards, all right? Because sometimes kids need to learn that if I learn a scripture memory verse, that's to the glory of God, not to themselves. Okay, now that's up to you, what rewards you set in your home and what punishments you set. But remember, what you win them to, or what you win them with, is what you'll win them to, all right? And pretty wise young man giving advice. He's now at around 36 years of age, the mayor of the capital city of Albania. Okay? Probably the first Christian mayor ever in that city, all right? Ephesians 6, 1 and 2 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." In other words, help your teenager know exactly what your expectations are. And that, number one, is to honor the Lord and to honor you as the parent, all right? And why you set these expectations of them. It's not just enough to say, because I say so, all right? It's because God is pleased when we obey the Lord and obey your parents. And then reward them for honoring those expectations, maybe at least by praising them when they do fulfill your expectations. So be the authority in your home. Far too many times I've seen, even in Christian homes, where the teenager or a five-year-old is the authority. They call the shots. Ought not to be that way. Amen? Number two, be an understanding friend. As you exercise your authority, you must also remember what it was like for you to experience these emotions for the first time. All right? Remember when you were a teenager. Remember what emotions you were going through. And it may have been when you were a teenager, you were not a Christian. So now you're looking at raising your children and your teenagers from a totally different biblical worldview. And hopefully that's how we view the proper way in raising our children. Amen? Having that proper biblical view that maybe we did not have when we were their ages. All right? And so remember the mistakes you made. Now I'd like to talk to that mother. Where'd she go, you know? Brother Brian. Is it Brian? Amen? Or did I get the name wrong? Sean. Sean, all right. Sean, where's your mother? We need to talk to her, all right? We need to get the truth. Amen? Anyway, we're not going to pick on Sean, all right? But, you know, we all made mistakes growing up. Amen? But, you know, don't let your past failures, when you were a child, you're a teenager, or a young adult, affect your parenting from carrying out your parenting from a biblical perspective. You know, the devil wants to do nothing better, more than hang over your head. Remember when you were a teenager? You were a failure. You were a rotten child. You were rebellious and so forth and so on. And don't let the devil hang that over your head. Because my Bible still says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Hey, if we're new creatures in Christ, we've got something worthwhile, very worthy to pass along to our children. Amen? So if your children believe that you don't care or understand the emotions, their emotions, they will disconnect and disregard your opinions and boundaries. Influence is the key here. Your kids need to trust you. They need you as their friend. Now, let me warn you, don't be so chummy that you lose or compromise your authority in being so chummy. You follow what I'm saying? You're still the parent, amen? And you're still the authority figures in your home, amen? So be an understanding friend. Open communion is vital in a teen-parent relationship. Keep the communication lines open. You must be able to talk openly about what you expect and why from your teenagers and your children. Number three, communicate. That's part of that point. Communicate clearly and openly, all right? In other words, talk through biblical principles about purity, about temptation, and youthful lust. Because if you had them as a teenager, I'll guarantee you, your teenagers will have them too. But talk openly about what God expects from a teenager. It's no different than what God expects of us as adults. Amen? That we need to guard our purity. We need to be guarded from temptation and even youthful lust. Number four, expect things to start changing in junior high, and they will. Your teen will naturally be attracted to the opposite sex. Don't try to stifle or dismiss that God-given attraction, but respond to it and address it wisely. In other words, don't react, but do respond, okay? Don't be threatened by these changes, but don't ignore them either. Handle them seriously in your heart, but lightly on the surface. Have frequent, serious talks on the subject of relationships that please God. And by the way, those relationships, whether it's, you know, it's boy with boy, girl with girl, or boy with girl, girl with boy, hey, they're all still relationships, and they need to be on a godly spiritual level. Amen? Number five, maintain a group spirit in all teen relationships. Teenagers who are attracted to each other, and we're talking about the opposite sex here, do not need to be alone ever. Ever. Amen? The devil will continually try to isolate them and draw them into emotional dependence upon each other. And exclusivity is breeding ground for emotional idolatry, and exclusive teen relationships have nowhere to go but wrong and down. Okay? So guard your children and maintain that group spirit. Hey, if there's nothing wrong with having a few teenagers over to your home, all right? But keep them in a group. Amen? Play some Christian music. Talk about godly spiritual things. Talk about what's going on in the youth department or the Christian school or what's going on in the church. You know, keep it on a spiritual plane. Amen? Number six, help them build strong friendships. And that goes, I think, with both genders, you know. I remember our youth group that we had over in Albania. They almost treated each other like brothers and sisters, though they were the same age as opposite sex in our youth department. It was really refreshing that they really saw each other as true friends. They had no desire at that point as teenagers. Maybe they were a little less influenced by the Western culture at that time than maybe today, or as we are here in America. But it was refreshing to see these young people, high school and even college age young people, treat each other as real friends, Christian friends. And I think that's a healthy relationship. Never is a person more insecure and longing for acceptance than during the teen years. And as you become best friends with your own kids, they will more naturally desire friendships, true friendships, with good influences from other teens. Then number seven, help maintain the right pace in a friendship. You know, you as the parents are the pace car, amen, that keeps your teenager's emotions from crashing. You must slow it down sometimes and keep it on the right track, okay? Hours on the phone, with someone of the opposite sex, talking over in a corner at church, endless text messaging, exclusivity from the family or the group as a whole, lower grades, always wanting to be together. These are warning signs of a relationship moving far too fast and in the wrong direction. Okay? And it's up to us as parents to take control, right? And make sure, hopefully, that doesn't happen in the first place, right? Number eight. Hope you're taking notes if you don't even have kids yet, because one of these days you will. You're going to wish you'd taken notes, all right? Number eight, see the teen years as the lab, the laboratory, and yourself as the instructor. The teen years are truly the laboratory in preparing for adult life, the last stop on the road to responsibility, to being a responsible adult. And this is your final opportunity, and that's kind of scary, to shape and form your teenagers' relationships with other people and get them ready to live life, because it's coming up pretty quick by the time they're a teenager. Never rationalize permissive parenting, as I said earlier, by your past failures. Be the parent God calls you to be, regardless of what kind of young adult you were when you were a teenager. And then number nine, we got to move along. Encourage a just friends relationship philosophy until graduation from high school. Now, I wish we had time, but let's jump down to number 10 because I think this is important. Watch for these three danger signs. With young people, these three areas always lead to problems. A, isolation. This is never a good idea in a male, female, unmarried relationship. Okay? No matter really how old they are, okay? But especially a teenager. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That's always a good rule of thumb. Amen? Don't let your children be in isolation. Go off on their own. Oh, here's the keys to the car. Go have a good time. We see the commercials on TV. All right? Just go have a good time. And I don't think we need what's called hum in the car. You seen that commercial? I don't know what it is. But it's kind of like a tracking system in your car. For when you give the keys to your teenage son or daughter and they go off on their own, you know where they're at all times. Hey, you shouldn't need hum. You should need to know where they're at all times without a tracking system. Amen. And you should be able to trust them. They should be able to prove their trust that you're okay with where they're at. And you sanction it. But it's better they don't go off alone anyway. Amen. B, extended time. In other words, extended time with one another. I'm talking about a teenage couple. Only an engaged couple needs to spend large amounts of extended time together as they plan and prepare for their lifelong relationship. C, physical contact. 1 Corinthians 7, 1 and 2. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. You say, well, that might be puritanical. We don't live in that age anymore. No, it's Bible. Verse 2, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. No, don't accept the rules of our secular society in raising your children and your teenagers. Keep in mind that many TV shows, websites, movies, and most of the secular music will further fuel the fire of the very youthful lust from which we are commanded to flee from. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Well, it's time In fact, it's a little bit past time. So I'm glad at least I got you the blanks. But you read over that, read over the verses, and really take into consideration what God wants you to do as a Christian parent in raising your children, and especially in raising and guiding your teenagers through life, all right? Let's bow and close our heads in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for this Sunday school hour. We thank you, Lord, for, Lord, these faithful folks, most of them parents, many that have teenagers in their homes. Lord, I pray that you would help them in a biblical, godly fashion to raise them the very way you would want them raised. For, Lord, we are really but stewards of our children. And, Lord, you've given them to us for a very brief time to form the best years of their lives into a godly individual, first of all for salvation, and then for sanctification and purity and living the right way. And Lord, I pray you would help these parents to follow your biblical guidelines. Bless the service to follow. Bless pastor as he preaches. And may we have open and yielded hearts to your word and the Holy Spirit. We ask and pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.